Ahoy, pilgrims. Greetings. It's Pastor Bob bringing you the next installment of our dynamic duo daily series, and we are up to episode 17 in the book of Daniel. Only one episode to go after this. Episode 18 tomorrow will end our journey through these two amazing books, and we're going to take a couple days to let that all absorb and reflect on it. And then about Monday, be looking for our new November installment. It's going to be called The Gift of Gratitude. And we're going to just have a reading a day. Could be scripture, could be a spiritual writer, a devotion, whatever it might be, about the importance of gratitude that I think will help us have the most meaningful Thanksgiving that we can have. Because that's what it's really all about, the gratitude we have in our heart for the life we have from God. Amen. Well, I'm broadcasting from a remote location again, down on Lake Springfield in a little cottage at Villa Maria, the Catholic Retreat Center here. It's meeting all our needs. Amy is with me, and she's got a beach about the size of a Little League infield, which is perfect for me, and it works for her. That's what counts, and it's just a beautiful setting, beautiful setting. So we're enjoying that, and we are ready, by the way, spiritually. We've got the Gregorian chants being lifted up, as you can hear them in the background. We've got a large mason jar candle going today, a new one we haven't used. What scent is that? Our producer isn't aware of the scent, but it's a great-looking candle. Let's call it cranberry, she says. And the cup of tea. Listen close. Ah, that's the Bigelow, 100% organic green tea. But let's get down to business. We've got a lot of verses to cover to get through episode 17. Episode 17 is actually the last part of the story in chapter 11, Kings of the South and North. And we'll pick it up a few years later, after the visions. So we'll go from chapter 11, verse 13, all the way to the end, in verse 45. Let's prepare ourselves. Unscrew those ears on your head and screw them into your heart and be ready for God to speak to you. A few years later, the king of the north will return with a fully equipped army, far greater than the one he lost. At that time, there will be a general uprising against the king of the south. Lawless ones among your own people will join them in order to fulfill the vision, but they will not succeed. Then the king of the north will come and lay siege to a fortified city and capture it. The best troops of the south will not be able to stand in the face of the onslaught. The king of the north will march onward, unopposed. None will be able to stop him. He will pause in the glorious land of Israel, intent on destroying it. He will make plans to come with the might of his entire kingdom and will form an alliance with the king of the south. He will give him a daughter in marriage in order to overthrow the kingdom from within. But his plan will fail. After this, he will turn his attention to the coastal cities and conquer many. But a commander from another land will put an end to his insolence and will cause him to retreat in shame. He will take refuge in his own fortresses, but will stumble and fall, and he will be seen no more. His successor will be remembered as the king who sent a tax collector to maintain the royal splendor. But after a very brief reign, he will die, though neither in battle nor open conflict. The next to come to power will be a despicable man who is not directly in line for royal succession. But he will slip in when least expected and take over the kingdom by flattery and intrigue. Before him, great armies will be swept away, including a covenant prince. By making deceitful promises, he will make various alliances. With a mere handful of followers, he will become strong. Without warning, he will enter the richest areas of the land and do something that none of his predecessors ever did: distribute among his followers the plunder and wealth of the rich. He will plot the overthrow of strongholds, but this will last for only a short while. Then he will stir up his courage and raise a great army against the king of the south. The king of the south will go to battle with a mighty army, but to no avail, for plots against him will succeed. Those of his own household will bring his downfall. His army will be swept away, and many will be killed. Seeking nothing but each other's harm, these kings will plot against each other at the conference table, attempting to deceive each other. But it will make no difference, for an end time will still come at the appointed time. The king of the north will then return home with great riches. On the way, he will set himself against the people of the Holy Covenant, doing much damage before continuing his journey. Then, at the appointed time, he will once again invade the south. But this time, the result will be different. For warships from western coastlands will scare him off, and he will withdraw and return home. But he will vent his anger against the people of the Holy Covenant and reward those who forsake the covenant. His army will take over the temple fortress, polluting the sanctuary, putting a stop to the daily sacrifices, and setting up the sacrilegious object that causes desecration. He will flatter those who have violated the covenant and win them over to his side. But the people who know their God will be strong and will resist him. Those who are wise will give instruction to many. But for a time, many of these teachers will die by fire and sword, or they will be jailed and robbed. While all these persecutions are going on, a little help will arrive, though many who join them will not be sincere. And some who are wise will fall victim to persecution. In this way, they will be refined and cleansed and made pure until the time of the end, for the appointed time is still to come. The king will do as he pleases, exalting himself and claiming to be greater than every god there is, even blaspheming the God of gods. He will succeed until the time of wrath is completed. For what has been determined will surely take place. He will have no regard for the gods of his ancestors, or for the God beloved of women, or for any other god. For he will boast that he is greater than them all. Instead of these, he will worship the God of fortresses, a God his ancestors never knew, and lavish on him gold, silver, precious stones, and costly gifts. Claiming this foreign God's help, he will attack the strongest fortresses. He will honor those who submit to him, appointing them to positions of authority and dividing the land among them as their reward. Then, at the time of the end, the king of the south will attack him, and the king of the north will storm out against him with chariots, cavalry, and a vast navy. He will invade various lands and sweep through them like a flood. He will enter the glorious land of Israel, and many nations will fall. But Moab, Edom, and the best part of Ammon will escape. He will conquer many countries, and Egypt will not escape. He will gain control over the gold, the silver, and the treasures of Egypt. And the Libyans and Ethiopians will be his servants. But then, news from the east and the north will alarm him, and he will set out in great anger to destroy many as he goes. He will halt between the glorious holy mountain and the sea, and will pitch his royal tents there. But while he is there, his time will suddenly run out, and there will be no one to help him. And thus concludes episode 17 of the Book of Daniel. Tomorrow, the final episode, episode 18, entitled The Time of the End. Here's our daily devotion today. By the way, I meant to mention this and got so lost in the Spirit, as I sometimes do, maybe often do, forgot to credit Walter Brueggemann for our prayer on Election Day that was part of our series segment recording. An amazing poem, didn't you think? Amazing prayer. That's Walter Brueggemann at his best, the scholar who's able to give life and contemporary meaning to the Old Testament stories. But now we have Sarah Young, and we have Jesus calling. And you have Jesus telling us that he's already done all he's going to do, and everything he has is already available. That actually, the choice is all up to you at this point. And you make that choice every day. Here's how Jesus says it. You can live as close to me as you choose. I set up no barriers between us. Neither do I tear down barriers that you erect. People tend to think their circumstances determine the quality of their lives. So, they pour their energy into trying to control these situations. They feel happy when things are going well, and sad or frustrated when things don't turn out as they'd hoped. They rarely question this correlation between their circumstances and their feelings. Yet, it is possible to be content in any and every situation. Put more energy into trusting me and enjoying my presence, he says. Put more energy into trusting me and enjoying my presence. Don't let your well-being depend on your circumstances. Instead, connect your joy to my precious promises. Remember my promise? I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. I will meet all your needs according to my glorious riches. Nothing in all creation will be able to separate you from my love. Amen. Thank you for joining us today. Hope you're excited about episode 18, tomorrow's episode, and then we'll take a little weekend break and be back again on Monday, November 9th, as we begin the month-long recording series, The Gift of Gratitude. Amen.